Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And while you're turning there, if you read the bulletin, my name is Adam Fong. If this goes south, I'm Leo McKinley. Worth a shot. As we have been making mention of for a long, long time and been getting more focused on the last few weeks and days, we are, of course, just now a few days away, a handful of days away from our Islam seminar that will begin Friday night. Did that change, by the way? The difficulty, I can't stand down there. Did it change that time? It's not on. Okay. Oh, there's no PowerPoint for tonight. Good deal. Easy enough. That's right. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 11. This just popped in my head. We are just a handful of days away from our Islam seminar, and looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to Wissam Al-Wathawi coming to be our way. We've made mention of that for a long time. But sometimes we have special series of lessons like this. You know, back in the, what was it, early spring, I guess we could say, we had a gospel meeting with Dan Jenkins. We already have gospel meetings scheduled for next year. We have the seminar coming up in a handful of days. In the summertime, each Wednesday night, most Wednesday nights anyway, we have a special series of lessons. And sometimes places wonder, you know, is it still worth it? Is it still worth it to have, you know, these special settings where we come together, not just on the Lord's Day, but elsewhere during the week, and to think about things? But I want us to think about a question tonight. How can we, in 2019, sort of judge the success of a special series of lessons like the one we're getting ready to have? I hope that we know that the lessons we're going to hear beginning Friday night will be good. I think it's safe to say that if you were to make a list of people literally in the world who are qualified to speak on what we're going to be thinking about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Wissam would be on a very short list. Very few people are as qualified as he is to speak on the subjects. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But I want us to look at some verses tonight that most of us know quite well from Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 10 through 13 in just a moment. And we're going to see from some things in these verses that will help us be preparing to hear what we're going to hear coming this weekend, Lord willing. Acts 17, read with the beginning of verse 10. We'll read through verse 13. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews, those in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Those four verses will serve as our text tonight. Because what I want to do is notice some things that are found in those verses that will help us to be able to gauge, is something like what we're getting ready to do a success? And I think if you read through the first handful of those verses, there are three things we can see that we can gauge to see that's what helps make this a success. And that will be the conclusion of our lesson. Here's your giveaway, here's your takeaway, spoiler alert, a successful time. Three things. Number one, there must be a biblical emphasis. There must be a biblical emphasis. Notice verse 11 tells us that the people were examining the Scriptures. But why did they want to go there? It's interesting that the opening verse that we read, verse 10, tells us that Paul and Silas went directly to the Jewish synagogue to speak. Now, that wasn't where they always went. It's where they wanted to go first most of the time, Paul and his companions, because there was some level of common ground there. The Jews who would be there in the synagogue were willing at least to reason about some things that dealt with the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, as we would call them. And you would have to think that Paul and his companions then would try to take them to the Scriptures of the Old Testament, maybe specifically some of the prophecies and things, and lead them forward from those things to an understanding of Jesus. When you read through the book of Acts, which records for us so much of the early growth of the church from its infancy onward, you come across a lot of conversations, you come across a lot of sermons, and there are a lot of similarities, sort of lines of reasoning that go through a lot of those lessons. But one is that there was always a clear emphasis on reasoning from the Scriptures. You ever notice how few times, if any, the apostles and others just don't tell the story of Jesus with no basis whatsoever? They continually pointed those, especially the Jews, who were familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures, to those accounts of the Old Testament, those prophecies of the Old Testament. That emphasis begins all the way back in Acts chapter 2, where Peter preaches that first gospel sermon after the resurrection of Jesus. And there are a lot of things he talks about there that they were witnesses of. We are witnesses of these things, and you are witnesses of these things. But at least twice in that sermon, he quotes from lengthy passages from the Old Testament to show that this was something that was no accident. He quotes the book of Joel, chapter 2. He quotes from one of the Psalms as well, at length. And he tries to tie that to, this is what you are seeing. The birth of the church, but also they knew that Jesus, that Jesus was the one who had been promised and prophesied. That runs its course all throughout the book of Acts, where the speakers, where those having conversations, continually point people back to the Scriptures as the basis. When we think about what we're getting ready to have in a few days, one of the things that we try to emphasize anytime we have a seminar, a gospel meeting, a summer series, anything that we have, is we want to point people back to the Scriptures. Any group, any organization can have some kind of self-help meeting, can have a motivational speaker come in. That's fine, that's good if that's what it is. But when we come together, we need to be examining the Scriptures, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will save people. The New Testament writers are absolutely united on that. Paul would write that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1 and verse 16. Peter would tell us that God has given us all things that pertain both to life and to godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And even that little short book of Jude tells us that the faith, that is, the system of belief, the faith has once for all been delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. So there's no need for us to look elsewhere for what we are to be, what we are to practice, the things we're to believe. When we come together for a series of lessons, we need to make certain that we're always pointing people back to the Bible. The seminar we're going to be thinking about this week, and you think that's not going to be the case because it's a look at Islam. Oh no, but have you noticed the title of the seminar? Islam in Christ's Eyes. Because we're going to be thinking about how does this compare with what God has revealed to us in the person of Christ, but ultimately, of course, in the pages of Scripture. If we're to look back on any seminar or any meeting we have, one of the ways we can gauge, is this a success, is has there been a biblical emphasis? Number two, is a faithful teacher. It is verse 10 of our text that tells us it's Paul and Silas who enter the synagogue and teach the Jewish population that's there at Berea, or at least those who were at the synagogue. And of course, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, those two need no introduction. Maybe Silas a little more than Paul, but Silas is regularly with Paul, and Paul was just the dominant figure of the latter half or so of the book of Acts, along with his traveling companions like Silas and Luke and others. Paul, of course, is God's chosen vessel, the one the Lord handpicked Himself to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to kings, and to his own people. And after seeing Jesus in that light on the road to Damascus, Paul's baptized by Ananias for the forgiveness of his sins. His sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. And for the remainder of his life, Paul would faithfully devote himself to teaching the pure message of Jesus Christ to anyone who would listen. And those who traveled with him, such as Silas, were either themselves speaking also or helping him to make sure that what was taught really was faithful. Now, we don't have the Apostle Paul coming this weekend. That'd be really neat. That'd be quite amazing. But we do have a teacher who's faithful to the Word of God. Our brother Wissam Al-Athali loves preaching and teaching. I've told a few people, I've heard him on recording give a lesson, and I've met him in person. I'm excited to actually hear him give a lesson in person, kind of combine those two things. But if you've ever met him or heard him speak, you're going to meet a man and hear a man who is not only excited, but who is faithful. He loves the truth because of where he has come from and the things he has learned. I'm not saying that to have some sort of commercial. I'm saying that to bridge to this idea. I want you to know that any time we try to get speakers for things here, our gospel meetings, the seminar, summer series, or anything. Yes, we want people who are good orators, who are able to, you know, keep us engaged and those sorts of things. But the first question that our elders always want us to ask is this person faithful? Because that's what matters. And by the way, if you don't think that we look ahead, our gospel meetings for Central are planned for 2020, 21, 22, 23, and 24. As our elders have looked at a list of men and we've contacted them who are going to be faithful to the Word of God in each October through 2024. But anytime we have a special series of lessons, that is always our primary emphasis. It's not, is he just a great orator? Or is he just a good speaker? Is he a good pulpiteer? But is he faithful? Because when a time is over, especially such as what we're going to have this weekend, if you think about it, 6 lessons in, what, about 40 hours? Something like that, Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning. That's a lot of teaching in a very short amount of time. That leads to a great deal of influence, where you can speak that many times that close together. That person needs to be absolutely faithful. And if when it's over, we can say that person has been faithful to the Word by examining the Scriptures, we can say, yes, this was a success. But notice the emphasis of that. Can we say that? That's number 3. What makes it a success is a sincere listener. I suppose the most famous part of this whole section of Scripture is that we're told of those in Berea that they were more noble or fair-minded, some translations have, than the Jews that Paul and Silas had been preaching to back in Thessalonica. The phrase more noble in the original language is actually just one word. It actually comes from an interesting concept. The reason you have translations that use the word noble or more noble is because the word originally meant someone of noble birth. And it was used in the common language of the day to speak of those who were of nobility. They were of sort of the higher classes of society, if you want to think of it that way. But Luke, the writer of Acts, is not telling us that these Christians were of the wealthy class or the noble class. That's not the point. They were noble-minded or fair-minded. What's he saying? Brother Wayne Jackson, his commentary, suggests that the word came to mean someone who was willing to be fair with the evidence. They had the same mindset as someone of nobility who had to look at things and examine things. And they were doing that as it pertains to these lessons, these teachings they were receiving from Paul and Silas and probably others who would come and teach as well. They were looking at it, examining it, thinking about it, and giving it a fair hearing. But Luke tells us that not just that they were noble, he tells us why they were noble. And he gives us at least 2 reasons. First of all, they received the word with all eagerness or readiness. They're receptive to what's being said, but Luke kind of goes above and beyond. It's to hear. They were open to hear. You know, we can show up somewhere and words can kind of float around the room. We might pick up on a few of them and never really hear what's being said. Parents can amen that anytime they want to, right? So can wives. But we can all be in a room sometimes, even where an expert is speaking, even where a great orator is speaking. Never really hear what's being said. We taught our lesson tonight, preparing to hear, because that includes the attitude of eagerness. What does it take for us to be ready to hear, to be eager? Well, we can make a long list. Let me give you just 3 very briefly as we prepare for, especially this coming weekend. First of all, spend time in focused prayer. As it pertains to our seminar this weekend, spend time specifically praying that you'll be ready and excited to hear what's taught, what's preached. Second, clear your mind. And I know, if you're anything like me, especially times we come together for a gospel meeting or a seminar or a meeting, we've been at work all day long and those sorts of things, that's really hard. Sundays for me are not as difficult because you're used to it, right? You're kind of ready for a sermon. I hope you are, on Sundays. But it's kind of strange when it's a Friday night or a Monday night or something. But if we take even just a moment to clear our mind of the things that have been going on at work that day or in our neighborhood that day, it helps us to be ready to hear. And then number 3, obviously, bring a Bible or something to take notes as well. Nothing will engage your mind more than active listening, whatever that takes. Sometimes that's just the simple turning of the pages of the Bible when a scripture is read or a reference is made. For others, it's taking notes along the way. Whatever it takes, have your mind be triggered to receive the message. They were ready to hear. And number two, they were diligent. Acts 17:11 concludes by telling us they were examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Here is Paul speaking, or Paul and Silas speaking. But they weren't just wowed by the fact that Paul had come to town. Paul would even tell us in some of his writings that people said his speech was contemptible. I think sometimes we think Paul was some fantastic orator. It doesn't seem like that was probably the case. But maybe his reputation would have been enough to hold your attention. Not to these people. They wanted to go home and make certain that what Paul said, what Silas said, and by implication what any teacher said, was it true to what they would have known as the Scriptures, that is, the Old Testament. I don't know what Paul and Silas taught that day specifically, or those days specifically. Maybe, this is speculation, but maybe they took them to some of those prophecies and pointed them forward to Christ. Maybe they looked at something like the Passover lamb from the book of Exodus as sort of the type of Christ. Maybe, I don't know what they did specifically. But whatever the lessons were, whatever the teachings were, you have here people who then did not just say, well, they sure sound like they know what they're talking about. They were diligent. They went home and examined to make sure whether those things were so. The success of a special series of meetings is not solely on the one who stands up and delivers those messages. We are blessed to be having Wissam come our way, but if someone does not come with eager, diligent hearts and minds, then what really is being done? So yes, we need to show up, but we need to show up ready. We need to show up eager, willing, and opening with the Scriptures to make sure what's being taught is so, because I think Wissam would tell you he's not inspired. The Scripture's inspired, but he's not, and I'm not either. I tell people often, if those in Berea were checking up on Paul and Silas, I sure hope you're checking up on me. Paul and Silas knew what they were talking about. Okay, sometimes I do. But we make sure that we are diligent to make sure what's true is being taught. I want you to think for a moment about what's going to happen if you have those three things in place. If you have a biblical emphasis where God's Word is taught, if you have someone who is faithful to that teaching, and if you have those who come with sincere hearts, ready to listen, eager to listen, what occurs? You have a positive result. We read through verse 13. I want to take verses 13 and 12 in reverse order. Because verse 13 tells us that there were some who heard the preaching about Jesus and they didn't like what was going on. They tried to stir up the people. I don't know exactly what all that meant specifically. And I don't know if there might be some who don't like what we're getting ready to do this week. I think there might be some. I've seen some on Facebook already. Been called rubbish and everything else on Facebook. That's okay. That's fine. If people want to act that way or treat that way, or even if they come and try to rabble-rouse or whatever, that's fine. Here's what I want to say. Whatever certain people might say or not say about any special series of lessons, I can pretty much guarantee it is, if the truth is being taught, Satan doesn't like what's getting ready to happen. And if we're doing what Satan doesn't like, we're right on track. That's verse 13. Go to verse 12. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women, put that in 2019 language, with a lot of Greek women of high standing, as well as men. When you have people willing to listen to the faithful preaching and teaching of God's message, especially, I believe, in a concentrated setting, some are going to believe that message. That's the positive result. And isn't that what we are striving to do? Someone who attends a seminar may decide that, who knows, we may have someone attend who is Islamic and decide, this is not true what I've been believing. Here's the truth. I don't know if that'll happen or not. Only God knows that. There's no way for us to know that. Or maybe they're not quite sure, but maybe they say, this is worth examining further. This is worth looking at more honestly. Or maybe it's one of us who is a Christian, but who has a friend or a neighbor or a relative who is either Islamic or is looking at being that, or thinking about that, and we learn something to help teach them, and we make a change in how we teach or how we approach someone. Whatever it is, whether it's a public response of some kind or making a private change of some kind, or we simply are striving to do better and be more faithful, that's the positive result. But when does it happen? When everything is centered on this book. When there's a biblical emphasis given by a faithful teacher to sincere listeners. And when Sunday afternoon comes, all these flyers are finally taken down, and we look back, how do we judge? Has this been a success or not? Oh, we could look at numbers. We could say how many people were here Friday night. What was the average? You know, was our Sunday morning attendance higher? That's fine. That's all. I kind of like numbers. I kind of like knowing how many people are here and all that. We could try to count if there were responses. Oh, there were 3 baptisms, or there were 6 people who responded. We could look at that, and that's all well and good. But I think what you see in Acts 17, in those verses, is an outline for us to always examine not just a special service, but any time God's people come together. Because the same way we examine something like a special seminar or a gospel meeting or a summer series should be the way we examine any time someone would stand up and claim to be speaking for Christ, speaking for God. Is there a biblical emphasis by a faithful teacher to sincere listeners? And when it's all over, if that's been done, then our time has been a success. And I believe we can say that it's been a success in the eyes of God, if that's what's happened. I hope that you are planning to attend this weekend. I hope you're inviting over. We've kind of been somewhat serious and somewhat kind of silly about the packets back here. There are still a bunch. I'm not trying to be funny, but I hope that ledge is clean by the time we leave tonight. Because it's Friday. It begins Friday night. If you wait till the 11th hour, it's 10:57-ish. To be inviting people, to be encouraging people, and to make sure our calendars are clear as well. I hope you will spend some time praying about yourself, that you'll be ready, that you'll be wanting to hear and learn with an open heart, an open mind, and I hope you'll pray for our speaker as well. A lesson like this one doesn't transition all that easily into the invitation. But before we do that, I want us to take a few moments and spend some time in prayer. Because what's getting ready to happen this weekend, Lord willing, I think is going to be very special and very important. But it won't be if we don't bathe it in prayer. So would you take a moment and pray with me, and then we'll extend the Lord's invitation in just a moment. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that through your word you have given us all that we need for life and godliness. And Father, we're thankful that if we're diligent to study your word, that we can find examples and patterns to follow for virtually everything we do as your people. And Father, as we look at what we're getting ready to have this weekend with Wassam, with our seminar, we're thankful that we have maybe not a specific example in Acts 17, but something we can look to as a pattern to see, have we been successful in your eyes? Father, we pray that what we do this coming weekend will be faithful to your word, that we'll be faithful as your people to prepare our minds and prepare our hearts, that we'll be faithful to encourage others to attend, and that we will do our best to make certain that all is done, all that is done, is faithful to your word and to your will. We pray for our brother Wassam. We ask you to help him as he makes his final preparations this week, that he'll be wise in his studies. And Father, we ask you to help him as he travels from Michigan to here. Keep him safe. Know that even very recently there have been accidents and crashes even in our own community. So we know there is a risk in him coming here, even just with the safety and travel. We ask you to bring him here safely to us. Bless him with safety and health while he's here and safety home. And Father, we pray for those whom we have invited, whether in person or through mail or electronic means. We pray that others will want to come and hear, and that they will come without preconceived ideas, but with open and honest hearts, wanting to know the truth about Islam and about Christianity. and that when the weekend is done, that they will know that the way of your Son truly is the only way. But that those who do not know your Son can be saved, can be brought to Him, can find salvation through Him. Father, help us to be welcoming, encouraging. Help us to be those who are good hosts. And help us to be those who follow up and seek to save the lost, not just in response to this seminar, but each day and every day of our lives. Father, we're grateful for those you put in our path, and we can encourage with your word in whatever way possible, whether it's an invitation to a worship service, an invitation to a seminar, an invitation to study the Bible one-on-one. Help us to take those opportunities. Help us to be ready to give an answer, be willing to say, and we don't know the answer, but help us to be willing to study so we can help as many people as possible come to know that your Son truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way that people come to you. And Father, we're grateful that He is also the one through whom we pray, and we offer this prayer. In His name, amen. As I said, this lesson does not transition all that well to an invitation, but we always want to extend the Lord's invitation when we are together, to give someone the opportunity to put Christ on in baptism, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've never done that, tonight's the night to do that. Or as a Christian, maybe something is standing in the way of your faithfulness. Maybe you've been unfaithful. Maybe it's just something tempting you. You need prayers for encouragement, prayers for forgiveness as such as necessary. We always want to offer that. Though the invitation is always open, we always like to offer that in public so that those who wish to respond in public can do so to seek encouragement from their brothers and sisters in Christ, can seek prayers. And we would love nothing more than before we go home tonight to spend some time in prayer or to see someone put on Christ in baptism. Whatever your need is, will you come while we stand and sing to encourage you?